2 weeks ago after the service, a person came up to me and they asked this question. They said, "Is this for real?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, is this whole thing that you just preached about, Jesus plus nothing, is that real?" And I'm here to tell you today, it is real. There's no bait and switch. There's no curveball. There's no coming at this from the side angle. There's no, this is the thing, and then you do this and figure this out. That Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. That when you put your trust in Jesus, and you put your hope in Jesus, and you put your heart in Jesus, that equals salvation. And the problem for some of us that we're experiencing is this problem of feeling like, hey, look, I was raised on a system that my mom taught me, my grandmother taught me, my dad taught me, the church that I was in taught me, and the system that I was raised on is that you do this and this and this and this, and then you're good enough to be called a Christian. And once you do this and this and this, then you can come into the faith. Then you can be a part of this. And I want you to know today, I want you to hear this, and I want to reiterate this as we've been studying through the book of Galatians, that this Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. It is real. And for those of you in the room that are struggling with this, part of the reason that you may be struggling with this is a thing that's called institutional syndrome. Institutional syndrome. And here's what it is: not knowing what to do when one is free. We see this happening in a lot of different ways. We see people who, in the moment that they accept Christ and say yes to Jesus, and they do this, and they say, okay, I'm set free, but then they have to go back to the cages that they were in and begin to work on their own power and their own will to be able to say, I'm good enough, because most of us never feel that we're good enough. And so if I can do this enough, if I can avoid this sin enough, if I can make sure that I'm kind enough or these things enough, then I know that I am part of the kingdom of God. And the problem is, you build bars and you build walls and you continue to build those things around you while you've been given the freedom and the understanding. And the problem behind that is because it is the only thing that you know. I don't know how many of you ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption. Show of hands, anybody seen that? You remember Morgan Freeman was in that movie, and he was the main character, and his character was called Red. And Morgan Freeman, there was a conversation that was taking place in the yard as they were incarcerated for a number of years. And they're having this conversation, and the conversation is around this individual who gets out, and they were so afraid that when they got out, they wouldn't know what to do. And Morgan Freeman says this in the movie Shawshank Redemption, and so I was going to do this in a Morgan Freeman voice, but then I realized I can't do that, and if I could, I would preach every sermon in a Morgan Freeman voice. So, but here's what he says: I'm telling you, these walls are funny. First, you hate them. And then you get used to them, and enough time passes that you get so you depend on them. That is institutionalized. And this is what I've seen so many Christians do in their life. Is that somewhere along the way, you said yes to Jesus, you were set free, and you knew you were set free, and then old sin patterns began to come back into your life, and then what you did is you began to put in this idea of bars around you, and you said, here's the deal, this is what has to happen. If somebody's going to be saved, then they have to do this, or they've got to make this, because you decided somewhere along the way that you needed a cage, or you needed a box that you could live in, that you could work in, and the thing for you is that when you think of the idea that it's Jesus plus nothing, it absolutely scares you. And I know this, not just because some of you emailed me and said, you know, Pastor, when you preach these kind of messages, then what happens is those who are sinners are just going to become continual sinners, and they're going to go off the deep end and live in their sin. And because they live in their sin, they're just going to be so far away and then claim they know God, because I know individuals who fall into that pattern. And you and I decide that we think the best thing to do is to put people into a state, and even ourselves, in saying, this is the box that you have to live in. And here's how you feel: that we're set free, but we can't live free. We're set free, but we can't live free. And I know this. I know that God's grace is sufficient for me. I know that Christ loves me. I know that Christ cares for me and died for my sins. I know that he rose from the dead. But the problem that I'm struggling with, the problem that I have, is that I know I've been set free, but I cannot live free. And too many people that I know in today's world as Christians live their entire life caged, and they look at it from this perspective: as long as I stay inside of these lines, then I'm okay. But if I step outside of these realms, then my salvation is in question. And Paul wrote to the Galatian church to bring this idea in. And you've been reading Galatians, the book of Galatians, over the last 3 weeks. And as we've been studying through Galatians, we've discovered this idea of what it means. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul would put it this way. He'd said, Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. You see, Paul knew that this is what would happen. That some of us would say yes to Jesus, we would enjoy the freedom, and then after a while we would say to everyone else, you do this, you clean this up, you make this happen, and you figure it out this way, and we begin to make it a Jesus plus something else equals salvation. You put this on yourself, and ultimately you put it on other individuals. And Paul says it very plainly, very simply, this idea, Christ has truly set us free. Nothing you did. You're not good enough to make it happen. Nothing that you figured out. This idea is that when you said yes to Jesus, he decided to say, here's my bank account, and my bank account has unlimited amounts of grace, and I deposit it into you. And I got to tell you, over the last few weeks, I've worked with a number of individuals who have, over the last few months of their life, made some of the biggest mistakes they've ever made. It's cost them relationships. It's cost them marriages. It's cost them all kinds of things. And the question that these individuals are asking, even in the middle of making these mistakes, am I still good enough? And unfortunately, you are too. Tim Keller, who was a pastor in New York City, would put it this way. He'd say, religion is I obey, therefore I'm accepted. And many of you go through this. And whenever you're doing right and you're staying off your whatever your thing is, your sin problem is, and you're doing those things, then you're like, oh, Jesus loves me. I know that he loves me because I've got this under control. But then the minute you fall back into old patterns and the minute you fall back into those things, then you're like, okay, I'm no longer accepted. Jesus doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. And Christianity says, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. The idea is this. It is where you put the accepted piece. If you put the accepted piece on your actions, then for you, you have been a lawmaker. And when you're a lawmaker, you break just one of those laws, you break every single one of them. And this idea and this concept of recognizing that we have been set free becomes a difficult piece. If you haven't been with us, this is where we've been for the last 3 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we started this series, and we talked about being set free from religion, and that was the idea of Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. And then last week, we said we're set free from what others think, and the reason behind that is that for many of us in the room, we follow around what other people think. Well, mom said that if I did this sin, then I would die, and so I've done these sins, so I'm going to go to hell, or my pastor once said this, or my cousin once said this, or my grandmother once said this, and you and I are so involved what other people think that you've become something that you were never created to be. And this idea of what other people think, and last week, Pastor Brent did a wonderful job understanding, helping us understand how we're set free from that. And today, we're going to talk about this idea of being set free from being good enough. And here's the thing, this is where the whole concept of today is, and we're going to talk about it from this perspective. And here's what I want you to get today, this one piece: living the Christian life is not about trying, but relying. Turn to your neighbor and say this to your neighbor. Just turn to them and read this and say this to them. Let me tell you why. Because I think so many of us are doing this. And you're tired, aren't you? Man, you're trying to be good enough. You're trying to clean it up. You're trying to figure it out. And whenever you slip up and you make this mistake, you're having a hard time with it. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about here. Most of you know this is a power cord, and you use these at your home because most of us have a lot of electronic devices, and so we need these. And so you have one plug that you use to be able to plug your laptop in, and so you plug that to charge it. And then you have one for your phone because your phone needs charged, and so you plug it into your phone. And then you got one here for your printer because you want to print things off, so you got to have that. And then some of you in the room even have a tablet or a TV, and you got another one here for your tablet, your TV. And so you plug all of these things together, and here's the problem, is then you look at this end right here, and you say to yourself, okay, I need an outlet, right? And so you look around, and you try to find an outlet. And here's the thing that I've learned, is that if you're in an airport, outlets are a premium. I mean, these things are looked for all over the place. I was at an airport in Southern California a couple of weeks ago, and while I was getting ready to eat dinner, this gal literally comes over, reaches between my legs, and I look over at my wife, and I'm thinking, look, I know we're in Southern California, but this is weird, right? And I go, what are you doing? And she's going, you have an outlet down there. And I'm like, wow, this isn't good. And so she plugs in her phone so that her phone can be charging at the table next to me so that she can get the charge because the outlet was just below my legs. And I thought, interestingly, this is what happens for us, is that we look everywhere for an outlet. But what if you did this? What if you looked around and you thought, I can't find an outlet anywhere here, but there's an open plug right here. So, ooh, that fits nicely. Wow. Look at that. And the problem is, many of you in your Christian life, this is exactly what you try to do. Instead of plugging into a genuine power source, you plug it into your own strength. You keep saying, you know what, I can charge all my batteries. I can make this thing work. I can figure this thing out. I can just try harder and be a little bit better. And the point is that I can't find a power anywhere else. And so there's an open outlet right there. It fits perfectly. So what I'll do is I'll plug in right here. And the problem that happens with that, and you know it, is this, is that it doesn't charge your batteries. It doesn't recharge you. And you've tried to be a good person. You've tried to do something better. You've tried self-help. You've tried this idea along the way that maybe if I just think hard enough, if I figure it out hard enough, if I work hard enough, if I do the things I'm supposed to do hard enough. And the problem is you've just plugged into yourself and it leaves you absolutely empty. Let me give you some ideas. This is how you know if you're trying harder. You're wanting to know, so how do I know if I'm a person who's plugging into myself? How do I know that that's happening? You can write a couple of these down. See if this is you. The first one is this. I'm frustrated. Man, I'm frustrated right now. I'm frustrated with my walk. I'm frustrated with where I'm at as a Christian. I'm frustrated with the things that I'm doing. I'm frustrated because I don't like the person that I've become. I don't like the things that I'm doing. And if you're a person who's frustrated with your Christian walk right now, then can I just say to you that you're probably plugging into the wrong thing? You see, the idea here is that religion emphasizes the concept of rules. And it makes you feel guilty for breaking them, and it leaves you powerless to do anything about it. But Christianity emphasizes a relationship. It extends grace to all your rule breaking, and it gives you the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. And so some of you are frustrated. A second thing that if you know if you're trying harder, you're tired. Anybody here tired? Worn out? Your walk isn't what you wish that it would be? And there, every week it seems like that you come and you're like, man, I'm trying to get my fuel rejuiced at church. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. And you are tired. You're worn out. And you're asking the question, why in the world am I doing this over and over and over again? And it may very well be that you're plugging in to your own outlet. Jesus would talk about this in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the 4th verse. He would put it this way. He would talk about how the religious leaders were making everyone else tired because he said this, you crush people with unbearable religious demands and you never lift a finger to ease the burden. And some of you are tired because of that. You literally look around and you are the judgment patrol and you're tired of being the judgment patrol. You're tired of the morals that are failing in the country around you and you talk about it incessantly with your family and they don't want to hear it anymore. And others of you continue it on and on and on and on and you're tired and you're worn out and you're saying to yourself, man, I just don't have the energy. You're plugging it into yourself. There's a third one that some of us may be struggling with. If this is you, is you act fake. The third one is I act fake. I act fake. I act like that nobody else is around me. Go ahead and go to the next slide here. There we go. I act fake. I love this one as a pastor because I get this one occasionally whenever I meet some of you out in public. This is always one of my favorite things is that every once in a while when I'm out in public and I run into you, you know, there are those of you that are like, oh my gosh, hey, Pastor Chris. And you're like, hey. And you're there talking to somebody. And you're like, hey, this is my pastor. And da da da. And then every once in a while, I'll run into one of you and I show up at just the wrong time. And you're like, hey. And I'm like, hey. And you're like, hey. And I'm like, hey. And then there's that awkward pause because you're standing with somebody that they don't want you. You don't want them to know you're going to church. You don't want them to know I'm your pastor. And so there's that awkward moment, you know. And so that's the time that I love to just embarrass you. You know, I'm like, you know, hey, so how's your sin life going? You know, that's just, No, I don't. I'm just kidding you. But it's awkward, isn't it? Because you know that there have been those times that you have realized I'm not the same person at church that I am at home, and I hate that. I'm not the same person at work that I am at home or church, and I hate that. It frustrates me. I act fake. And the reason that is because you have decided that you can power into your own power, and it's leaving you powerless. There's a fourth reason that happens, and the fourth reason is this. I end up conceited or defeated. You know, for some of us, we've overcome enough sins that we get the privilege of being conceited, don't we? I mean, we get to tell everybody else, hey, look, you know, I won't struggle with that, and I'm glad I don't. You should get over it. I did. I've gotten over 48,000 sins. You're only like 7. You know, look at me. And we get this conceited peace inside of us, and there's this conceited thing that happens, and this is when you know you're plugged into your own power. Or for some of you in the room, you feel defeated because you look at your own sin patterns, and you're thinking to yourself, I should be further along. I should be down the path. I should be growing by now. And the problem is I'm not. And the thing about it is that you keep trying harder and you're tired, you're exhausted, you're putting on a mask, you're frustrated, and some of you are defeated or you're so conceited that you judge everyone else around you. So the question that I want to spend the last few minutes that we have together answering is this. So how do I live a holy life set free from trying to be good enough? Because, man, you've been trying this. You've been figuring this thing out, and we've got our backs on this. We've got to figure this out, and how do we do this? Because I've tried this again and again, and quite honestly, it leaves me wanting more and feeling like I fail over and over and over again. So write these things down. Because Paul gives us some insight in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. Here's what he says first. This idea of you have to acknowledge the war. Go ahead back to the number one there. Acknowledge the war within between our sinful nature and the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to acknowledge that there is a war that takes place inside of you, that there is a war that's going on, and most of us don't want to acknowledge it. Most of us just want to keep it off to the side. But until the day comes that I recognize that there is a war happening inside of me, and this war that's going on is my sinful nature versus my spiritual nature, the nature that the Holy Spirit has placed in me. And until I can define it, until the moment comes that I'm willing to say, I know this is happening, I know these two natures live inside of me, until I get honest enough to recognize it, then I can begin to live life under the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, for most of us, we don't want to notice that side. We see it come up in our thoughts. Sometimes it comes up in a word that we say. We're like, whoa, I don't know where that came from. But then we just move on to everything else. But we don't pause and acknowledge that. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 5 as he answers this. He says, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Now, some of you in the room are going, Pastor, I appreciate that, but you don't understand the darkness in my heart, that when that darkness takes over and everything else seems to go on, I make mistake after mistake after mistake, and then I wake up a day later, a few hours later, and I say to myself, what happened in this moment? But you don't pause long enough to acknowledge how these things are working. He says this, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And he continues on. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. You are not free to carry out your good intentions. See, hear this, church. That when somebody's caught in a sin pattern, the issue for us to understand in these sin patterns isn't an understanding that your job is to condemn them. The truth of what God is saying is, if you are a believer in Christ, then deep in your soul, you have a desire to do what is right. And if in this season in your life, you are making mistake after mistake after mistake, then the last thing for you to do is to condemn the other person. And the problem that happens for many of us is that because of it, we decide to go secret with our sin. We don't talk about our sin. We don't talk about what we're doing wrong. Instead, we love to just say, yeah, I'm a sinner, and we leave it at that. But you nor I ever sit down and acknowledge, hey, this is the sin that's happening. Paul would continue to talk about this. He says, when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And then listen to where Paul goes, because this is where this thing turns a little bit muddy for some of us. He says here, let me give you just a list. It's not the exhaustive list. It's just a few things. But for some of you, sexual immorality is your issue. You know that you can't stay faithful to your spouse, or you can't stay faithful to being pure. And sexual immorality is your thing. And the problem is this. Some of you in the room go, well, Pastor, I've never once been out on my wife or my husband, but you know there have been times that the thought pattern in your life has dominated the fact of what it would look like for you to be with somebody else. And Paul says, look at this. Impurity, the idea of trying to get ahead, lustful pleasures, idolatry. Is there something in your world that at times you've put in front of God that you were more interested in taking care of this than taking care of your relationship with God? He continues on by talking about sorcery, the idea of what happens when we allow demonic things and demonic spirits to engulf us by looking at other mediums of trying to get to the supernatural world. Hostility and quarreling. Maybe this is you. Or jealousy. Or outbursts of anger, or selfish ambition. You think only of yourself. Dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Now I want to pause. Let's go back to this one right here, because I want to leave this for a second. What I'm talking about today is you being honest enough with yourself to say, these are the struggles that I have. You see, this is the thing for a lot of us as Christians, is that we just get to this idea and we use the word sin and we use it to describe all of these, which they are sin. And the problem is, if I do not talk specifically about my sin, it does nothing to change my heart. As your pastor, I can look at this list and I can tell you that most of the things on this list, there have been times in my life that I am guilty of these things. And if you're going to be honest with yourself, you're there too. And this is exactly what Paul is saying, is the spiritual inventory is that more Christians than not would rather plug inside of themselves and say, here's the deal. I know I can work on my porn problem. And so what I'll do is I'll work harder to not look at porn next week. I'll plug it right into myself. And you've been trying this for a long time. And folks, it's not working. You know it. Sometimes I like getting on the phone and I like making division happen among my family. I like to just call and say, do you know what so-and-so did? And that's the thing. And so that's just kind of my deal. And yeah, I know that's sin. I probably shouldn't be doing that. So here's the deal. I'm going to try harder this week to not make those kinds of phone calls anymore. But you know that you're still dealing with those kind of things. The quarreling that's going on with your family, you're in the middle of it. The dissension that happens between you and a former brother or sister in Christ, you are in the middle of that. The outbursts of anger that occur in your life whenever your kid does something and you're like, oh my goodness, and it doesn't necessarily warrant the level of anger that you're doing, and you look at it and you say, man, I cannot be doing this anymore. And so what do? And late at night when you and your spouse are having the conversation and you've been exposed, you say, I will try harder next time. And you know what you're saying? Is you're saying, I found an open outlet. And I know that that open outlet, even though it goes back to me, is my responsibility. And if it's my responsibility, I'll try harder to plug into this. And here's the problem. Because this very next verse is one of the most damning verses for so many of us in the room. Because listen to what Paul says. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is one of the most misinterpreted verses in all of Scripture. I've had friends that have used this verse on other people who were living sinful patterns, and they've said to them, look, here's the deal. I want you to know you're going to hell, because Paul describes it right here. And the point of what Paul's trying to describe here is that Paul's saying there are people who have chosen this way of life over the Christian life. And when people choose this way of life over the Christian life, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if you, my friend, are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to understand this verse right here is not applicable to you. This is applicable to the people that you know who are far from God. This is applicable to the people in your world who choose the things of this world over the things of Jesus. This verse is applicable. And yes, it is true that there are people who make no decision for Christ and they choose to live in their own sin. They choose to follow whatever it is that they want to follow. And yes, there will come a day when there will be a separation between them and God, and you and I one day will have that opportunity to watch and see. And this is one of the biggest reasons why for us as a church we talk about reaching our neighbors, because eternity hangs in the balance. Guys, Paul says this. And this is where we miss it, because you know the verse that's following this. You have quoted it to your friends and family dozens of times. And this is part of the difficulty that many of us struggle with. And it isn't until you come to a place that you acknowledge your own sin. You know, several months ago, I got this thing from my insurance company, my health insurance company, where they said, you know, Chris, you're not as healthy as you think that you are. So we're going to help you to become healthier. And so I got this pretty little app that I get the privilege of being a part of. And the main part of this app is that I have to write down on this app everything that I eat during the course of the day. I don't know if you've ever done this kind of thing. It's a diet journal is what they call it. And I thought, oh, that's easy. And so the first week I wrote it down and I looked at my calorie intake and what I was eating. And I thought to myself, man, I am the beacon of health that I thought that I was. And then I get on this conference call, and the conference call is this person who's a dietitian on the other end of the line, and the dietitian says, okay, now, you guys have done well this week. You've recorded your stuff. We're so proud of you. But here's what I'm asking you. I need you to record everything. And I thought, okay. And she said, well, I mean, I need you to record everything. Like, even if you walk by a snack table and you grab a quick snack, and then all of a sudden in my brain, I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. Because you see that in our office, outside of my office, back here, until this past week, we used to have the snack table. And it was located right outside of my office, conveniently, like it should be. And the thing was, is that we have people in our office that are wonderful cooks, and they love to make cookies, and they love to bring in candy bars, and they love to make have M&Ms there and all kinds of fun things. And the problem was that I began to realize when I was putting it on the app is how many times I get up, leave my office to come out, either head to the restroom to get the next person that I was going to meet with, or just to entertain the staff, because sometimes they need that from me. And so I would walk out of the office, and every single time I'd look over the snack table and I'm like, wow, look, cookies, look, candy, look this, you know. And while one of those little Snicker bars that they give you is a good thing, you know, 10 of those probably isn't the same. And I realized when I started to write this thing down that my calories just went woo straight up because of the fistful of stuff that I just kept eating between meals. And I didn't realize it. And this is what happens to you and I in our sin patterns. And the encouragement for you would simply be this. Do a mental journal and maybe a physical sin diary. And here's part of the problem. Most of us in the room refuse to do that because you don't want to know the depth of the sin that you have in your life. See, that's what happened to me on the diet journal. I went through 3 or 4 weeks, and all of a sudden, my calorie intake just started to skyrocket, and I thought, you know what? It is much easier for me to not write this stuff down than to write this stuff down. And I walk by the table, and I can grab a handful of snacks, and the problem is, I don't have to think about it because I never wrote it down. And this is the thing that Paul's trying to tell us. Because the second piece of this is simply this. You have to, step two, be aware of what you're feeding yourself. And for some of us, we spend hours binge watching Netflix. And we don't even think about it. We pick shows on Netflix that aren't healthy and wholesome to our spirit. And that's what we do in our downtime. And you love to tell everyone else like I love to tell everyone else. Here's the thing. It's just mindless watching. I'm not even really paying attention to it, but it's still feeding your spirit. You think about when you're at the office and the things that you think about when you walk by somebody who's attractive and the things that cross your mind, or you walk by somebody that you have conflict with and the things that cross your mind. And while you may say, hey, look, I'm not saying anything publicly. I'm not telling these people what I think. I'm not letting them know the things that are going on. But if you were to start journaling these kinds of things, you would begin to recognize that you are filling your life with things that aren't wholesome and healthy. And this is what Paul is trying to get at, is that the church is struggling, and the church was struggling with this idea of saying, I would rather go back to rules, because if I can do this and this and this, then that's okay. Why? Because I would rather just follow a set of rules, because if I get to follow a set of rules, then I know where the boundary lines are. And Jesus says, I eliminated those boundary lines. Why? So that you could discover how much I love you, that even in the middle of your sinful sinful patterns, in the middle of your destruction behaviors, in the middle of everything that seems to go wrong in your life, I still love you unconditionally. And the problem for many of us is we love to hide those things so that it doesn't change anything that we do. And so what do we say? I'll just try harder. And that's why you're frustrated. You're tired. You're tired of being somebody at work that you're not here. And it just makes it difficult. And so this is where the page begins to turn. How do I plug into the Spirit? And this is what Paul has to say, number three, where he moves from this. Eat from the plate of the Holy Spirit. Gang, I've walked this journey with many of you in the room. And even this last week, I walked this journey with two friends of mine that I love who have loved God for years. And they are caught in a world of sinful pattern, and the sinful pattern becomes destructive, and they don't know how to get out. And all you think about in those moments is you. And this is why Paul would say these words. Listen carefully. You know these. You've heard these thousands of times if you've been in a church. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Can I just say this? Right now, if you know your patterns, and you know your sinful patterns, and you're tired of them, then start replacing those patterns with these kinds of patterns. If you're struggling with lust, then maybe for you it's time to go do something good for somebody else. If your struggle is that you know that you love to hide alcohol, nobody else knows it, and so you are kind of a closet alcoholic, and you know that those are the things, then maybe for you, you should start learning the aspects of gentleness on other people. Maybe for you, you should start with love and say, what does it look like for me to love someone else and for me to walk after that love? Why? Because these are the things of the Holy Spirit. For years in my life, I allowed negative patterns to destroy my life. And there was even a place in my life where I felt so unworthy that I kept saying to myself, God would never forgive my sin. And the problem was, I lived a life of sin, and I used that as an excuse to stay in sinful patterns. And it wasn't until the day that I realized that when I begin to change my heart and when I begin to say, okay, God, when I'm sitting around in idle thoughts and my idle thoughts turn to destructive thoughts, that I can begin to do these kinds of things. Some of you in the room have been recipients of texts that have been encouraging to you from me, your pastor. And you know one of the reasons why you got those texts? Because I found idle time in my day. And in the course of that, I could either go to destructive patterns that ultimately would lead to destructive behaviors, or I could pause and I could give you some encouragement. I could text you a quick text and say, I'm praying for you. I'm encouraging you. I love you. You know why? Because I want to make sure that I exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. This is a deal, because for me, I have a tendency to want to come back and to power up my own cord. I want to be able to power up my own batteries, and I want to be able to plug myself into those kinds of things. And the problem that happens with that so many times is that in the end, it leaves me powerless. And you feel the same way. And you're struggling inside. You know it. But you come here and you don't tell anybody this. You keep it quiet and a secret. You don't even tell your spouse that you're struggling with your own fidelity. And you're saying, man, I'm struggling with these things. And you never, ever talk about these things. And the reason why is because you're telling yourself this lie. I can fix it on my own. And Paul told the church in Galatia, you cannot do this on your own. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. The fourth and final thing that he talks about here is a lifestyle of what happens. You see, here's the thing, is keeping in step with the Spirit. Because this is the journey that God has me on these days. It isn't the idea of, Chris, you've walked away from sinful patterns, because I still have sinful patterns and I still have sinful thoughts. But the question for me is, I can either allow those sinful thoughts and patterns in my life to continue to a point of destruction, or I can turn around and say, Holy Spirit, you control my life. Holy Spirit, you are the leader of my life. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit is the prayer that I have on a regular basis. And so this is why he concludes this passage in Galatians 5. For every one of us in the room, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Man, give them to him. And then he concludes by saying, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So I'm going to give you an assignment this week. And the assignment is simply this. It's a prayer that I wish you would pray dozens of times a day. And it's simply this. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. What's your sinful pattern? Is it divisiveness? Is it idolatry? Do you have a relationship that you put above a relationship with Christ? God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. For you, is it jealousy? Are you so busy looking over a defense of somebody near you that you wish you had what they had? Then God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Is it something that's going on, that the idea of impure thoughts and lustful thoughts? God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. My prayer for you is that you would come to this understanding in Galatians, just as Paul did to the church in Galatia, that it is Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. And then you would begin to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, here's the problem for a lot of us. We grew up and some of us thought that the Holy Spirit was some mysterious thing that people got a hold of every now and then, and it made him run around the room, and you saw your cousin Eddie run around and thought, man, that was weird. For some of you in the room, it made them say things that they don't normally say. It made them do things they don't normally do. But the truth for you to understand today is that the power of the Holy Spirit is alive and well inside of every person in this room who said yes to Jesus Christ. And that power is the power for you to plug into, not to your own strength. That there comes a moment that you say, I can't, but Holy Spirit, you can. I can't do this on my own, but you can. And you want to produce these things in my life. And folks, this is part of the challenge for so many of us in this room. And so I encourage you this week that this becomes your prayer. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Right now, I just want you to bow your head, close your eyes. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to say this prayer. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just say it. And if you need to say it over and over again, say it over and over again. Lord, as we land the plane here today on the book of Galatians, God, we've been stretched in ways that we didn't think we could be stretched in. Lord, there are some people in this room who still say, I'm not good enough. And Jesus, remind them in this moment that they have been set free from what other people called them, what other people have said they are. What other people have chosen to label them, that isn't the label that you give them. You have given them the label of sons and daughters of the King. And so remind us of that, Jesus. Lord, remind us that we are loved by you unconditionally. Lord, that fear has no place in this world, and that the idea for every one of us is that we're called your children. If we've said yes to you, Jesus, that's what it means. Help us to do that and plug into your Holy Spirit this week. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.